Amen. Remain standing. We're going to read through Deuteronomy chapter 8. Right now, I want to see who brought your Bibles. No competition, just everyone reach down, grab your Bibles up. Let's hold them up. Let's see how we're looking today. Ready? Hold them up. All right, we're looking good. Somebody said, bam. What was that? There we, you holding up a notebook, man. I mean, it's got Bible stuff in it. I got you. We're going to be in Deuteronomy today. If you would, remain standing as I read through Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today as so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to you for your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks and iron and you can dig copper out of the hills, where you have eaten, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, then all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, and that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, for these ancient words written and recorded so long ago, we pray that the power would not diminish, that the message would not be decreased or diminished or eradicated, but that these words would live just as powerful as they were several thousand years ago, that they would be just as powerful today. Father, bless this assembly as we desire to worship you and no one but you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Have you ever been so close to a goal that it just drives you crazy? I mean, you know, you set a goal to lose 20 pounds and you've got 5 pounds to go. And it just drives you crazy. You just can't lose those five. You're so close, yet you're so far away. When you're reading the Bible, and probably as you've been reading through these chapters and in Deuteronomy and Exodus and Numbers, and when you're reading and you're almost at the end, you know, there's 34 chapters and you're at chapter 29 and you just got five more chapters to go, and it seems, you know, so close to the end, yet it's so far. Does it drive you crazy? This is the feeling I get when we drive to Buffalo. When we drive to Buffalo, which is only about 5.5 hours, 5.5 hour drive through Ohio, a little bit piece of Pennsylvania, then we're in the New York State, and it's just one of those trips that it's short enough to drive you crazy because you're not far away, But about time you get about an hour away from Buffalo, you know, you just get that feeling like, man, is this trip ever going to end? And then the questions start. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. How long is it before we get to Buffalo? And that's my wife. And the kids start in. The feeling that you get of being so close, yet so far away. The unfolding narrative that we have found ourselves in as we read through the first five books of the Bible, or the Torah, or the Pentateuch, is a story of a new nation of people, a story of a specifically chosen people, a people who have been inundated with a God who is determined to reveal himself to his people, this chosen people, a people whose ancestry goes clear back to the beginning of Adam and Eve, but more specifically goes back to a guy named Abraham, to whom God made promises to. As a reminder, in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord promised Abraham that he would make him, Abraham, into a great nation. So in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, as a reminder, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Drop it down to Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse number 4. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it.'" This land being Canaan. Along the way toward this promised land, God prepared his people who had been so immersed in the Egyptian culture as slaves. During that during that time of being in bondage and slavery, they saw injustice. They saw detestable activity. So God gave this special people a new system of laws, decrees. As we read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and now in Deuteronomy, we have been immersed in these laws and regulations and sometimes bizarre requirements. You will be known as the family of the unsandaled. Did you read that in Deuteronomy? But bizarre laws and rules. At the end of 7 years, cancel all of your debts. Have mercy. Don't we want it to be at the end of 7 years right now and have all of our debts canceled? There was going to be a new way of living in this promised land, and God's people were going to love God in a different way. They were going to love each other in a different way. They were going to be God's holy nation. This land, we would find out, would be the land of Canaan, a land described as being the land of the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Jebusites, and others. It was a land that is described to be one that is flowing with milk and honey. That is to say, it is full of animals and livestock, that it's covered in vegetation, a lot of fruit and vegetables. Yes, it was a land that God had promised to give to his special people. Along the way, there had been some obstacles. There were obstacles en route to taking possession of this land. The great descendants of Abraham, namely the Israelite people, were enslaved in Egypt, and God rescued them out of Egypt by defeating their enemies and leading them on a journey toward this promised land. And along the way, there were more obstacles, namely sin and amnesia. You see, the Israelites continued to forget their God. They forgot the promise that God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They forgot how they were a nation of people. They weren't a nation of people until God rescued them and called them as his very own. They forgot the mighty hand of God, and they rebelled against God, rebelled even to the point where they declared, we'd rather go back to Egypt and die. They rebelled against God's chosen leader, Moses. You see, the Israelite people forgot. They complained, they grumbled, and they turned a journey that should have taken no more than a few weeks to a month into a journey of 40 years. Can you imagine how many "are we there yet" comments there were in that journey? And this morning, as we consider Deuteronomy, we find ourselves with the Israelites on the verge of entering the promised land. They were so close. They were at the doorstep of their new home, the promised land. And how does God prepare his people who are literally hours away from taking possession? He blesses his servant Moses to preach a sermon. Deuteronomy essentially contains the final words of Moses, the leader of the Israelite nation. I don't know if this was one speech that he gave or a collection of speeches, but Deuteronomy is, in fact, the majority of it, a sermon. It reads like a sermon. It kind of functions as a sermon. And Moses, in front of his people, was preaching this final sermon. Moses, in this sermon, calls the Israelite people to remember, to resist, and to reflect. To remember, to resist, and to reflect. Several times throughout this sermon, Moses uses the word remember, or in some places, do not forget. So if you read through Deuteronomy, you probably recall phrases like, remember you were slaves in Egypt. Remember what God did to Pharaoh. Remember how God led you through the desert and fed you and clothed you. Remember how God defeated your enemies. At least 16 times throughout Deuteronomy, God's people were called to remember. And as a part of the new mind and heart of this special people, a continuous activity of remembering would be implemented. And what are some of the best ways to remember? Repetition and song. Where's Carl Ward? Carl Ward. Remember back in the early 80s, though? Remember back in the early 80s? The song we had to remember the menu at McDonald's? How many people remember that song? Okay, if you remember, I want you to try to sing with me. Ready? Ready? One, two, three. Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pounder, french fries. With some cheese? We forgot the menu at McDonald's, but that's the best way to remember. Song, repetition. So as you read through the Psalms, do you note that in the Psalms, there are several Psalms that basically repeat the Israelite wandering story? Psalm 136, the great give thanks psalm. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. If you read through Psalm 136, you'll see several things that took place during this wandering. I believe that psalm was probably written when they were at least close to the promised land, or right when they got into the promised land. They wrote this song as a way to remember. The idea of remembering would be something that would be so deeply planted and rooted in the experience of the Israelites. We'll talk more about that later, that remembering is something that was to be spread throughout the congregation, spread throughout the community, that there would always be this system of remembering, parents talking to children, brother talking to brother, neighbor talking to neighbor, about remembering all that God had done, remembering how God was faithful to his people, remembering how God had protected them, remember how he fed you, remember how his anger burned against you and me. I think one of the probably the most hilarious portions of this sermon And how many times did Moses blame the people for him not being able to go to the promised land? And how many times did Moses say, yeah, you know, you need to remember how God gets angry at you. And because he gets angry at you, he punishes you. And because of you, he won't let me go into the promised land. I know there are a lot of people in the audience going, yeah, he is 120 years old. You know, we didn't hit the rock. You hit the rock. That's why God said I wasn't going to let you in the promised land. Remember, Moses preached to the people to resist. They were to resist the ways of the people around him. Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting at verse number 1. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you the many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must, listen, destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away and from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands. They were to resist the ways. They were to go into this land and not be affected by anything around them. They were to destroy all the altars of worship that these other nations had set up. They weren't to intermingle because God knew that intermingling would cause them to fall away, would cause them to not follow the true God, but to follow all the rest of these gods. That the influences of all these others would seduce them so much so that they would turn their backs on God again. Now that's the good news. The bad news is as we continue to read the Bible, we'll see that they didn't listen to God. And the very thing that God said that they would do if they did the things that if they didn't do the things that he told them to do, they were going to fall away, that they were going to follow God. So Moses is preaching to this generation about to take possession of this land to resist. It also meant that they were to resist showing injustice to one another. That they were called to treat one another in a vastly different way than they were used to. It meant showing justice and not cheating your neighbor. It meant not stealing from one another. It meant not treating foreigners in bad ways. It meant treating foreigners and aliens, as the text says, with respect and love. And even called them to provide for the foreigners. They were to resist a repeating of past ways. Resist the not trusting God times. Resist the feeling of wanting to return to Egypt. In chapters 28 through 30 of Deuteronomy, there are a series of blessings and curses. Follow God, enjoy blessings. Don't follow God, suffer the curses. When the Israelites took their collective eyes off of God, they wanted to return. With the desire to return came the desire to turn toward other gods. Moses was calling the people to resist. And Moses was calling the people to reflect on the new. Reflect. On the verge of entering this promised land, Moses called the people to reflect that they were now a new generation of people. Remember when we read Numbers, that because they grumbled and complained as the spies went in, they came back and people began to rise up against Moses and God and Aaron and all the leaders. Remember, God said, because you grumble, because you're unfaithful, this generation of people will not be allowed to enter the promised land. So the group of people that Moses is addressing, aren't those people, but their children and their grandchildren. It's a new generation prepared to go and take the land. The only ones that would remain from that grumbling people were, remember, Joshua and Caleb, because they remained faithful. They were going into a new land as a new generation, which meant that they were going to have new leadership. Moses was on the brink of death. Aaron had already died. Miriam had already died. All the rest of the people had died during this 40 years of wandering through the desert. And Joshua was chosen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, "But your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it." In this new land, there were going to be new opportunities to live out the life that God had planned for them. There would be new opportunities to live out faith and trust. There would be new opportunities to experience Jehovah. There would be new opportunities to display love for each other and extend justice. So in calling the people to remember, resist, and reflect, Moses concludes his sermon by saying, "Make a choice, Israel. You've heard about life and the blessings that come with it. You've heard about the curses and the certain death that will result from it. Make a choice. Even though I'm 120 years old, if I were you, I would choose life." Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse number 19. "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Choose life. You're going into a land with all of your baggage, with your family members, with your animals, with your stories and collective experiences. But among the collective baggage, know this: Jehovah your God is with you. So choose life. This God that is with you, as I put into my own words, the Sermon of Moses, isn't like any other God you've ever heard about or experienced. No, the God that you have been blessed with being able to take into the land with you is a God that, as we read through the first five books of the Bible, is a God who is Elohim. He's Elohim because he is creator and preserver of all that we see. So when we go into the land, we know that we have a God that is in possession of everything that we see. And because he is in possession, because he is in charge, we need to take good care of it. We're taken into the land a God who's Jehovah Jireh, that is the Lord who provides. You see, remember when you were wandering through the desert in a land that has no water, that has no vegetation, that God gave you water. God gave you bread that you had never seen before. Bread that obviously people were trying to eat and eat and eat some more. I mean, it was better than Panera bread. It was better than Olive Garden dinner rolls with the butter and the garlic on them that they feed you, you know, 20 pieces so you get full and you don't eat your full meal. And quail. Oh. Generous portions of quail or chicken. They were taken into the land, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. You see, it was the Lord who went before the Israelites on numerous occasions and fought battles that the Israelites were surely destined to lose without a God. They were going into a land that was possessed by some great people, numerous people, large armies, experienced people, but they were taken into the land, and the people didn't know that were living it. They didn't know that, but the people of God knew that they were taking in the Lord our banner, because he was going to fight battles for them. They were taken into the land, Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals, a God who had shown throughout their experience that he had the power ability and compassion to heal his people physically and spiritually. They weren't just taking any God into the land, church. They were taking the Lord who heals. They were taking into the land Jehovah Em Kadesh, or the Lord who sanctifies, or the Lord who makes you holy. Because before God, they weren't a holy people, but with God, they were a holy people. And as they possessed this land, they weren't going to achieve holiness on their own by doing something on their own. They were going to become holy because God was going to make them holy, because God intended to make them holy, because God had a great desire to make them holy. It wasn't just any God that they were taking into the land. They were taking in El Shaddai, God Almighty, or the all-sufficient God. That is to say, with God, it's all you need. Church, this is the same God. This is the same God that we just sang to. This is the same God that we just prayed to. This is the same God that we stand here as followers of. Amen. I don't know where we're at. Maybe we're on the verge of entering to the promised land. Maybe we're already into the promised land. What we need to know is this, that the same God that was Elohim to the Israelites is the Elohim to us. The same God that was Jehovah Jireh to them back then is the same Jehovah Jireh today. He's the same Jehovah Em Kadesh. He's the same Jehovah Nisi. He's the same Jehovah Rophi. He's the one who heals us. He's the one that leads us and fights our battles for us. He's the same one that provides for us. He's the same one that makes us holy. He's the same one that sustains everything that we see. And wherever we're at on the journey, wherever, maybe we're at the door ready to enter into the promised land, we got to remember who God is. Wherever God is leading us in the future, we've got to remember who God is. When we come up against circumstance, when we come up against obstacle, we need to remember how God got us through. When we get to a point where we're hungry, we need to remember that God fed us in the past. He'll feed us. We got to remember when we come up against sicknesses, when we come up against the evils that we face in this world, that God is the same God who in the past defeated evil and healed us. He's the same God who's going to defeat evil and heal us in the future. This is the God we serve. This is the God that we are taking into our promised land. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. While this isn't the concluding thought of Moses' sermon, it certainly serves as a concluding thought. Bob already read some of it, Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as they live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your home, houses, and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of slavery. It's just one of those things. when we reflect, when we remember, when we don't forget what God has done, it's not enough to just keep that within. It's something that we have to make it a point to share. Come here, Caitlin. Come here. We're not doing anything way out of the ordinary. You know, when I read that, it reminds me. Because daddies sometimes don't do a good job of sitting down and just sharing with my baby how good God is. And maybe it's just a matter of us just taking a minute off the day and saying, Caitlin, put turn the TV off and put the DS down and lead, put the Wii remote down, put that down. And just saying, Caitlin, have I told you today about the God we serve? Maybe it's sitting at the dinner table. And while you're arguing with them, saying, no, you are going to eat those vegetables. No, you are going to eat those vegetables. Maybe it's at that point where we talk about the stories of God and how the Israelites went. And he said, you know, a long time ago, the Israelites, they didn't have good and scrumptious vegetables. They ate scraps in Egypt. But man, God led them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they were able to eat vegetables and meat. And then I'll just watch in amazement as my girls just gobble up their vegetables, right? Maybe it's just as simple. Sitting down with our kids. And just saying, hey, I don't know if I told you today, but I love you. And God loves you. You got any questions about God? Maybe it's that simple. Then take the time to impress upon our hearts, and impress upon our children, impress upon our neighbors, impress upon our coworkers, impress upon our schoolmates, that my God is Jehovah and He's the one true God, and He's El Shaddai, and that's all you need. Amen. Holy Lord, thank you for the witness and testimony of Scripture. Father, I pray that it would serve as a resource to move us into closer relationship with you. And in doing so, closer relationship with one another. God, I pray as a representative of your people here today that we desire to choose life. We will choose life over existence. We'll choose life over just being here. And we choose life because we know that with this life, we are afforded the blessing of having you, God, in totality. To have you as our provider, to have you as our banner, to have you as our healer, to have you as our creator and sustainer, to have you as the all-sufficient, all-knowing God. Father, as we take possession of the promised land that you are showing us to take, we confess to you that we want to choose life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back. Sit down. I love you. You don't love me? Okay. Why don't you say, I love you, Dad? Okay, she said it. She said it over there. She said, I love you, Dad. In this new land, we're going to love God like we've never loved God before. And we're going to love each other like we've never loved each other before. This is the testimony that should speak loud and clear to us. That God is calling us, as Jesus said. He said, God, Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving others. It's my prayer that as we go forward, that this would be the testimony of this church, that we are a church that simply loves God with all that's within us. And with that same passion and spirit, we love one another. That's it. All the rest of this stuff, you know, that stuff, all that, love God and love others. We're going to sing a song that serves as a way to remind us of that. So as we stand and sing this song, if you have any needs or desires that you want to share with the church, you want us to pray for you, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to talk to someone about sitting down and reading and wrestling with some of this confusing stuff in the Bible, I'm going to give you that opportunity to come as we stand and as we sing this song.